The next case for argument this morning is Desai against Mukasey.
Good morning. May it please the court, my name is Shannon Jackson. I'm here on behalf of the petitioner Umang Desai. Mr. Desai is subject to a removal order from the United States based on conduct which would not have been prohibited under the Federal Controlled Substances Act. First and foremost, immigration law is a federal law. It's not for the states to decide who can remain in this country and who can be banished from it.
I don't understand that. There are an awful lot of parts of immigration law, state law. You may, for example, be entitled to a visa to stay in the United States if you're married to a citizen. Whether you're married to a citizen depends on state law.
But
what's the problem here?
There's a specific provision for that in the Federal Immigration and Nationality Act, which defines not only the definition of an immediate relative, but also the fact that an immediate relative, such as the spouse of a U.S. citizen, is entitled to apply for a visa.
And by saying that this is federal, so state law can't play any role, but it's clear that it does. And, in fact, it's clear in Section 12A2A, little I, big 2, there are also state laws being referred to. We can discuss what that reference means, but there's just no principle that state law can't play any role.
Yes, no, it's not that state law cannot play any role. It's that state law cannot be the only role. And in this case, that is what has happened, because there is no federal counterpart and no...
So you don't think 212 applies?
I do not.
Section that Judge Easterbrook cited.
I do not think it applies because there's no counterpart to violating a
lookalike. I thought your argument is that it has a particular meaning.
Right.
Right. The interpretation of that section would allow for a state law.
Time is short. Let's cut to the chase. There are two readings of Section 212A2AI. Big Roman numeral 2. Ought to be illegal to have so many subsections, but Congress apparently hasn't banned its own laws. It says that anybody who violates a federal or state law relating to a controlled substance as defined in the Controlled Substance Act is removable. The question is, what does the as defined in the Controlled Substance Act modify in that construction? Is it modifying controlled substance as defined in the Controlled Substance Act? Or is it modifying state law as defined in the Controlled Substance Act? Your position, as I understand it, is that the parenthetical phrase, as defined in the Controlled Substance Act, is modifying state law as well as controlled substance. Is that correct?
Well, correct, Your Honor. The parenthetical is key here because that limits the state laws to which this section 212
can apply. Limits it only if it is defining, only if it modifies state law as opposed to modifying the immediate antecedent. Now, the Supreme Court sometimes refers to the rule of the immediate antecedent as how we construe statutes. And the immediate antecedent is controlled substance, paren, as defined in the Controlled Substance Act. On that reading, the only question is psilocybin controlled substance as defined? You're arguing for a construction that does not follow the rule of the immediate antecedent. Now, why?
Because the petitioner here was not charged with possession of psilocybin. He was charged with possession of a lookalike substance, which is a completely separate offense.
And one what he is charged with is not relevant to the meaning of that phrase. The question, the technical question in this case is, does the phrase, as defined by the Controlled Substance Act, modify just controlled substance, or does it modify state law? The question I'm asking is, why should we depart from the rule of the immediate antecedent in figuring out what the parenthetical expression modifies?
Because of the nature of immigration law, Your Honor, there's a string of precedential decisions from this circuit and from the Supreme Court upholding the concept of the uniform application of federal law as it pertains to immigration. In this case, the conduct, the conviction, and the charge are all related to a state law that does not exist in the federal context. So to order someone removed from this country based on something that the federal government would not even, could not even arrest that person for, because it's not a crime under the federal law, that completely...
Just begging the question, right? Your argument is absolutely correct if the parenthetical phrase modifies the phrase state law and not otherwise. I'm asking the question, why should we think that the parenthetical phrase modifies anything other than the phrase controlled substance?
Because it's related to the state law as defined by the Controlled Substance Act. And this is a common theme throughout the Immigration and Nationality Act, where it's the offenses that are deemed controlled substance offenses, aggravated felonies, other crimes of moral turpitude, are all tied to a federal uniform application of the law.
No, they aren't. One common ground of removal is a conviction for murder. There's no federal law against murder. There is a federal law against murder in a national park. There's no federal law against murder, but you don't deny that that's an aggravated felony.
That's specifically defined, or just not defined, specifically enumerated in the Immigration and Nationality Act, whereas this particular offense, possession of a lookalike substance, appears nowhere in the Immigration and Nationality
That's
Act.
That's why 212A2AI Roman 2 refers to state law. You're just not addressing my question. There may be, for example, one may say this construction is ambiguous, and I've got legislative history showing that the parenthetical phrase was supposed to modify state law as well as controlled substance. Is there any such history?
Not that I'm aware of, Your Honor. I think I understand your question, though. The government had argued that our interpretation renders that phrase, any law of any state, meaningless, and it does not. You don't have to be federally indicted in order for your conviction to count for immigration purposes. However, that conviction must have a federal counterpart, and that's what this court has upheld in Gonzalez-Gomez versus Akim, and what the Supreme Court recently held
under a different statute with different language. I'm trying to get you to address the actual language in 212, et cetera.
Yes, and that's what I'm saying. The reason for interpreting it in such a way as the parenthetical modifies state law or any law is based on interpretations being consistent with other interpretations of the Immigration and Nationality Act and of the removability or inadmissibility of aliens in general, which needs to be kept in the federal realm.
But by the way, has any court of appeals accepted your interpretation of 212, et cetera?
There are several cases that address this, none of which address an offense which was not included in the Controlled Substances Act.
Can I switch from 212 to...
Sure.
But starting with 212, what's your understanding of relating to a controlled substance?
I believe it's relating to a law. I think relating to modifies the word law as opposed to controlled substance, and this is further emphasized by the fact that that parenthetical was added.
Uh-oh. As defined. You've just invoked the rule of the immediate antecedent. But yes, you can't be in favor of that.
I'm in favor of the uniform application of federal law, particularly as it applies to immigration law, Your Honor. This conduct, bottom line, was conduct which would not have gotten Mr. Desai arrested by federal prosecutors.
I understand that. But what is relating to, I mean, is a controlled substance?
It means relating to a controlled substance as defined in the Act. There's the Controlled Substance Act does address things besides the actual controlled substance. It addresses counterfeit substances, controlled substance analogs, attempt offenses. Those are all specific actions which are punishable. However, this particular look-alike substance offense is separate and was not addressed.
And do you have support for your interpretation under the case law that relating to does not encompass look-alike substances?
The fact that all of the cases relating to 212, to this particular section of 212, uphold the uniform application of federal law. There are cases where
So the answer is you don't have a case that supports your interpretation that relating to does not include look-alike substances.
I could find no case relating to look-alike substances at all in any circuit.
When you could say you find no case relating to look-alike substances, what does the phrase relating to mean?
Okay, bad choice of phrase, Your Honor. I could find no case that had that phrase in it.
Thank you very much. Mr. Futuros.
May it please the Court. My name is Thomas Futuros, and I represent the Attorney General. I'd like to pick up specifically on Judge Easterbrook's point about the textual language in the inadmissibility statute that's relevant to this case. The reference to the Controlled Substances Act is not to the Controlled Substances Act in general. Rather, it's as defined in Section 802 of Title 21, which contains a definition of controlled substances. So not only is it immediately antecedent to the term controlled substances, it actually defines controlled substances. Importantly, it does not define law or narcotics violation or drug trafficking crime, a myriad of other definitions that could be contained in the Controlled Substances Act that Congress could have.
By the way, is psilocybin actually defined in the Controlled Substances Act, or is it one of those things that the Attorney General added to the schedule under his authority to expand it?
It is contained in the list, in the schedule.
In the statutory list or in the administrative schedule?
Hallucinogens are contained in the statutory list.
Right.
I'm not sure if this particular, that's something I do not know.
Well, one has to be careful because some people think that almost any opinion written by Justice Douglas is a hallucinogen.
The question here is statutory interpretation, and 802 doesn't help them if you want to apply it to any of the words in the statute. Not only if you want to just apply it to the words immediately before it, but rather there's simply no definition in 802 that would implicate the narcotics definition or narcotics violation definition, which is contained in 844. Congress could have done so. They could have referenced that. They do it throughout the INA. The INA is replete with examples where the board is tasked, or the Attorney General is tasked, with determining whether a state violation amounted to a federal criminal violation. It didn't do that in this case specifically. Rather, it used the broad term relating to. Turning to the specific language of the criminal statute, Mr. Desai pled guilty to unlawfully and unknowingly distributing a look-alike substance, which he presented to be a controlled substance. Pursuant to that statute, that means he either expressly said this is a controlled substance, or he distributed the substance under circumstances that would lead a reasonable person to believe that it was a controlled substance.
So if he distributed an aspirin, you believe that to be that would be relating to a controlled substance? Your statement about just believing it is related to a controlled substance.
No, not his his belief, but rather he believed. I don't know what his belief was in this case.
I thought you said he believed.
No, that he expressly told another person that this is. This is the fraudulent distribution of controlled substances. Taking a substance that is not a controlled substance
no.
and telling somebody it is.
What if he says that the aspirin is a controlled substance? piece of candy, anything. I mean, I'm not following your argument about what he represented. That means that he represented
it to be a hallucinogen. Specifically a controlled substance on the federal list. That he was attempting to convince someone that here what I'm selling you is an actual controlled substance. And that is what this criminalizes, and that's to show the relationship between this criminal statute and controlled substances, which is the issue before the court. Does this state law relate to controlled substances? And the text of the statute clearly demonstrates that this statute only punishes the fraudulent distribution of controlled substances, duping people into believing that what they're taking here is a controlled substance. And you have to do that expressly or in such a circumstance that the person that you're selling it to would believe that it is a controlled substance. That is the reason that the criminal statute, the state's criminal statute, is important in this case, because that is the particular issue before the court. Is this statute related to controlled substances? And Congress specifically chose the word relating to, which has broad meaning, but in this case the court interpreted it as logically associated with. And clearly this statute is logically associated with controlled substances. In addition to the text of the language of the statute, is included in the Illinois State Controlled Substances Act, which is intended to provide a system of control over the distribution of controlled substances. Finally, the INA in this case specifically rejects the notion that this must be a federal crime. Had Congress intended it to be a federal crime, they could have so stated. They could have said, as punishable under the Controlled Substances Act, or incorporated the terms from the aggravated felony definition, referencing drug trafficking, which this Court and the Supreme Court has said incorporate the definitions from the Controlled Substances Act. But yet, it omitted that in this case.
Mr. Terce, most states have, as Illinois does, this look-alike.
There are multiple states that we found that have it. It's in the model State Controlled Substances Act. And there's been no argument. There's no argument presented to the board and no argument presented to this court that any state punishes this differently.
How many immigration actions of this sort have been undertaken prior to this case? Yeah. There's been a series of cases in this.
There are no reported cases by the board about this. I am told from the DHS local people that this topic does come up. But it's important that this topic is not just about...
And let me just stop you there. And with quantities this tiny, I mean, with quantities this small, so you don't have any data on that either.
No, and I don't have any data on that, but specifically...
I mean, that's small for a lookalike. I'm just following in on what Judge Flom asked, because I was curious about that as well.
I don't have any data specifically about to respond to that question, but quantity is not an issue in the INA in regards to controlled substance generally. A small amount of the actual substance. The INA is particularly clear on its treatment of controlled substances violation regardless of the quantity. It does have some small exceptions for waivers for small amounts of personal use of marijuana, but that is in the entire universe of controlled substances the only time that quantity or some sort of definition would come into play. So the INA in this case specifically incorporates state law, which, as the Supreme Court said in Lopez, it's inviting some areas in which the laws could be different. But in this case, it's the board, and in all cases, it's the board's job to interpret immigration law consistently, and there's no evidence that it didn't do it in this case or wouldn't do it in future cases.
Isn't that your strongest argument, that you've got a reasonable interpretation, the board has a reasonable interpretation, not the only interpretation?
That is a strong argument, but it is. The board is tasked with interpreting the term relating to. It's a reasonable interpretation, and I know of no other interpretation of related to other than one thing that is associated with it. For these reasons and the reasons set forth in our brief, the petition for review should be denied.
Thank you very much. And Ms. Jackson, we've peppered you with questions. I'll give you a minute for rebuttal if you have anything further.
Your Honors, the Controlled Substances Act is quite detailed and quite explicit. It enumerates quite a few offenses, quite a few substances. Congress did not choose to include the lookalike offense. Whether states agreed to include that or not, that's certainly their right. They have the right to come up with their own policies. But the varying state policies cannot be used to impose the federal law of immigration and cannot be used to ban someone from the United States for 10 years for a crime that they would not have been punished for under federal law. Also, in the record, there's nothing regarding the intent of Mr. Desai, the charge, the amount of the quantity of this that he possessed in the immigration record. There's a lot in the criminal record. But the immigration judge didn't take any testimony regarding any of this. He looked at the conviction in and of itself and made his decision. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Thank you very much. The case is taken under advisement. Our final